Hello there, welcome to the latest podcast. I'm Jim Staples, with me I've got Stuart Hall.
Afternoon.
Simon Pitney.
Hello.
And Dan Ferdinand.
Afternoon.
Okay guys, we're going to start off with World Cup Awards. It's been a couple of weeks since the game now, the World Cup final. So I'm just going to go around the table. Player of the tournament, Simon Pitney.
Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Okay, reasons?
I just think he set the example and the tone for everything Germany did, and they were very impressive, and he carried a very young team kind of in the Ballack role on his own. He was the key player for me.
Okay. Stuart Hall, who have you gone for?
Müller, the right winger for Germany. He plays as a striker, he's very young coming into the tournament like that, and still played very well and obviously got the golden boot, so I'd like Müller.
Müller as player of the tournament. Mr. Ferdinand?
I also go Müller. I go Müller as well. I'm not going to go this half a second. They scored 16 goals in the tournament and he scored about five of them. So.
Okay. I'll go Schneider for the same sort of reason that Simon's picked, to be honest, as well, and the fact that he looks quite a lot like Ronald de Boer, which I kind of like. Hello there, who would your player of the World Cup have been if you had to give it to one person?
Thanks.
Messi. God, Messi, she knows nothing about football. Good chips though, thank you. Okay, next one, goal of the tournament. I'll kick off in this one as I went past. Giovanni van Bronckhorst with that left foot.
I think pretty much
when he started the tournament as well, I didn't know he was still alive, let alone playing for the Dutch team.
Captain
of the Dutch team, and it would have been nice for him to. That's the only reason I wanted Holland to win the World Cup final, because it would have been his last ever game. But so I go Gio van Bronckhorst. Mr. Ferdinand, goal of the tournament.
It's van Bronckhorst. Although the goal of the tournament would have been, and I know it's a bit weird, but it would have been Diego Forlán's free kick in the third and fourth playoff, which would have made a draw, because it was the last kick of the game. It would have been immense. But yeah, Gio, I think it was amazing.
Okay, two for Gio. Mr. Pitney,
I'm Gio all the way. Yeah, definitely about a shadow of that. Although most underrated goal of the tournament was the one where Kaká cushioned that pass for Fabiano and took him around the keeper. It was all about the pass.
Yeah,
but definitely van Bronckhorst.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think it got most of the most people's vote. It's the only one, about the only one you remember as well. I can't remember that many goals.
Tevez falling against Mexico.
Tevez was a good goal.
Was as good as Gio. At no point did you think he was actually going to score.
What about Wesley Schneider's first goal against Brazil? Didn't skim off Philip Melo's head.
How can they give that to him? I've got absolutely not.
By the rules.
I did like his celebration though. No. When he ran up to the camera in one of the goals.
Yeah, for the header.
Yeah, that was his second goal. He scored ahead. First goal he's ever scored with his head.
Bit like Maradona, but he wasn't as drugged up and crazed and mental.
No.
Which is not a good thing. Stuart Hall, goal of the tournament.
He's on the phone. Too.
Stuart is not here right now. Stuart. He'd like to leave a message after the tone. He'll get back to you.
I think you went for van Bronckhorst though in my pre-podcast chat with him.
I'm going to read his little notes. Yeah, van Bronckhorst. We don't need to ask him on that. Game of the tournament.
For me, for other reasons, I'll comment on that later, was World Cup final, just because it happened to be in Madrid.
And the right team won.
But if we're talking pure football, I really enjoyed the semi-final where Spain beat Germany.
Yeah.
The way Germany couldn't get a kick for 25-30 minutes. I really enjoyed that.
It's quite funny to watch, man. Dan? Game of the tournament?
Third and fourth playoff.
Yeah? I didn't even watch it.
Germany-Uruguay. I wasn't going to watch it, but watched it.
You've got a life on a Saturday night, mate.
No, I don't. I was playing poker with some boys, with my boys, and brilliant. I thought it was a brilliant game. Culminating, as I said, with Diego Forlán hitting the crossbar to draw the game.
I don't even know what happened about that.
It was an amazing game.
I was homeless in Pamplona at the time.
Yeah. Stuart Hall, game of the tournament, please.
I think it's the final. Spain-Holland, I think. It's a World Cup final, isn't it? All the best players there. I just think it's a good game to win. All right,
why do we bring him? Why do we consistently bring him? Mine was Ghana versus Uruguay.
Yeah, very good.
Because I thought it had absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And I think everyone was behind the Ghanaians.
Oh, well.
Why not? Penalty drama at the end. It was an absolutely brilliant game. And I think everyone felt for him at the end, and obviously the drama of the
Asamoah Gyan is still crying, probably.
Exactly, yeah, he's still absolutely decimated. And what's the Fulham player? Who's the Fulham Ghanaian player?
John Pansil.
Pansil, yeah, I love the fact that he just runs around with his flag after every game. Every game he just runs around with a Ghana flag.
He does that at Craven Cottage.
He does it at Fulham, doesn't he? Yeah, someone said that. He does it at Fulham as well, mentalist. Okay, moving on, the manager or coach of the tournament. Stuart, we're going to kick off with you. So, manager of the tournament.
I'm going to go for Lowe of Germany. Obviously, he took quite a young side there.
Thought he might get a couple of votes, yeah.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Definitely him.
Just renewed his contract as well.
Did he?
Could due to public demand.
Yeah,
so he's going to be in charge of them during the Euros, so probably a decent bit for the Euros.
Definitely.
So, okay, Simon?
I'm going to go for Lowe as well, for the same reasons. Young team, got them playing on German type football, got them very far, with an honorary mention to Tabarez of Uruguay.
Okay, Dan?
Mine's going to be a little bit controversial. Mine is Jürgen Klinsmann, because my belief is that that German side that Lowe has inherited, although very good, those building blocks were put in place by Jürgen Klinsmann.
There's always got to be one clever one, hasn't there?
Yeah.
Well, on this occasion, there's two, because my pick is the only unbeaten manager of the tournament, Ricky Herbert, New Zealand manager.
Yeah.
The only team in the World Cup not to lose a game.
That's a great shout.
And looking at New Zealand's group, I think we all rip them off as getting cannon fodder every game. They didn't lose a game. I know they didn't progress, but I think it's a fantastic achievement.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic achievement. Moving on, we've got villain of the tournament. Simon.
I'm still really, really angry with John Terry for his press conference. He's my villain of the tournament.
Which press conference?
The one where he said, even if he doesn't like it, I'm going to tell Capello what needs to happen and all that kind of stuff. A, he shouldn't have been saying it wasn't his play, and B, he's just letting down all his teammates.
Stuart?
Me and Simon have spoken about this, and we both put together the John Terry press conference. And literally,
you put together the John Terry press conference?
Yeah, I put it up. I set it up.
Well done.
Put it together, and I still think he's there.
Okay, Dan?
I hate agreeing with you boys, but my villain of the tournament is John Terry. It's not because of it, but it's not because of the press conference. It's
Dad of the year, and you're mugging him off like this. Dad of the year.
It's because of that unbelievable, ridiculous schoolboy error where he ran under the goal kick for the first goal against Germany.
Yeah.
Upton isn't the quickest in the world. We all knew that before the game. We all knew that during the game. To leave him one-on-one with Costa like that was just an embarrassment, and it's something that a six-year-old wouldn't do.
So you're quicker than Carragher. Alright, my villain of the tournament, Paul the Squid. Paul the Squid. I bloody hated that stupid animal.
It'll be calamari soon.
It's
not
squid to me. I'm not even going to give him his proper animal title.
Just Dave the Squid.
Dave the Squid.
Paul.
Best fans of the tournament. There was a few mental Ghanaians I saw.
Yeah, I think the Ghanaians would be a great shout, though. I'm going for Dutch, because if you open any British paper for the entire month, it just seems to fit Dutch.
Even though they weren't Dutch, they were South Africans that they employed to be Dutch.
Yeah.
By that stage, I might pick the North Korea fans, but they were Chinese, so it doesn't really matter. Stuart, fans of the tournament?
Brazilian women.
Good bubble there, by the way. You know, when you drink a bit of lager and you push it down too quickly, it makes a little bubble. Good bubble.
It's a good bubble, because it was Russian.
Are you going for?
Brazilian women.
Good. Dan? Don't need to add anything to that. Fans of the tournament?
I don't have fans of the tournament.
Why? It was a question. You got just a question.
I don't have an answer.
So difficult.
No, I'm only joking.
Oh, he's brilliant, hasn't he?
I'm good.
He's the humour.
No, the fans of the tournament for me are still the English. As far as I'm concerned, they're the best fans. Not being biased, but they're best fans every time. The whole debacle with not qualifying as we should have done and having to change over. Almost no other country would have been able to just drop everything and change their plans and spend more money. Every single time they turn up in their absolute thousands.
Absolute monks, aren't they?
And basically. And that's why, although I know that means that I make you the fan of the tournament, but
that's
what can
right.
I do?
Cheers, mate, that's alright. No, England fans were good. We've made the most noise by far from the games that I went to as well.
It's the only games where you didn't hear a vuvuzela.
Yeah,
a bit of a ban.
The atmosphere in Port Elizabeth was absolutely blinding. Well enjoyed it. But overall, mine would be South Africa, just for the way they embraced the whole thing. And I like the way they got behind Ghana as well. The fact they didn't stab me, kill me, or rape me was quite good
as
well.
Start.
Which pundit would you most like to shoot if you had one bullet? We've talked about pundits quite a few times.
Yeah,
you've got one magic bullet available for one pundit only.
Okay.
Who are you going
Sorry,
for?
Sorry, can I ask a quick question before you answer it? Is Adrian Charles a pundit?
Yeah, all right, we'll go for media personality rather than pundit. Can't have James Corden because that's standard.
Adebayor.
Okay, Dan?
This is a tough one. ITV's coverage was abysmal, but just because of his comment about Gerrard playing on the left being an absolute disgrace and he's going to pack up, go home. Then when Gerrard did play on the left and scored, we played well, he changed his mind, Lee Dixon.
Okay, I thought you were going to pick John Terry for a minute there. For horrible. Stu?
Davids, I think.
I like Davids.
He just led back the whole time.
Yeah, he was far too argumentative.
I like his tiny little pig-like eyes.
His pig-like eyes.
Yeah.
No,
Dave the Squid. He's a pundit. I take Dave the Squid. I didn't see enough of the games over here to dislike anyone, to be honest.
Fair enough.
But Gary Mabber was pretty good out in South Africa. Just had nothing to say. Just didn't even know where he was most of the time.
I don't know how he became part of their bit of the either. Just a bit random, isn't it?
Yeah, just they just needed a footballer. Gary Mabber's doing nothing. Alright, personal highlight of the tournament. Si, we'll go to you because I know yours will probably be quite recent, wouldn't it?
Yeah, mine was just being in Madrid for the World Cup final and Spain winning. The place went absolutely mental. We found like
so did your shoulders.
Huh?
So did your shoulders.
We found a little underground cavern. We were drinking in there with a load of Spanish people. The city centre square went mental.
So did your shoulders.
And then we started singing at some Dutch people, "Are You England in Disguise?" That went
good.
Down like a bucket
so
of
So there were some
sick.
Dutch people in Madrid?
Yeah, and they weren't very happy.
Oh, I bet.
But fantastic atmosphere, obviously, as you'd imagine.
Dan, stop chomping on your ship for a minute and give us your one highlight of the tournament.
Mate, it's tough. I really don't.
What, the chip or your...
Yeah, the chip. No, I really... I just wasn't a big fan of it all.
This is why we wrote down our answers.
No, I know. No, it's not a referring to problem. I don't really have a highlight of the tournament. England were abysmal for 3 games, and so that kind of put a massive dampener on it.
Well, yeah, they were abysmal for 3 games, I suppose.
Well, 4 games.
No,
yeah.
No, not 4 games. Well, they were world beaters against Slovenia in Port Elizabeth. I was there, trust me.
Yeah, was it? Yeah? Okay, fine. I think I will just... The only highlight I've got is...
Just considering you haven't got a highlight, you've chatted shit for about 5 minutes on the fact you haven't got a highlight.
The defence. Right. One highlight. No, go.
The little baby lions they had in the VT before one of the games.
then he eats his other chip. Mine, for me, personal highlight was...
being in South Africa?
No. Being in the oldest cricket ground in South Africa, in Port Elizabeth, when South Africa played France. It was absolutely blinding. Well enjoyed it. Delahar, your highlight was probably not going, even though you had tickets, wasn't it?
It was right up there. North Korea, my highlight. Just getting there. Love them.
Yeah.
Bloody love them.
All right. Last bit on the World Cup. One lasting image of the tournament. What were your lasting image of the tournament?
Well, I was thinking of this. In 20 years' time, what we're going to remember about South Africa 2010, the tournament itself wasn't great, so unfortunately, it's probably going to be the Vuvuzela.
Yeah. That's probably going to be the thing for me as well. That's what I had in mind, probably the Vuvuzela. Dan?
I was going to say the Vuvuzela, but I think you've said it and Jim's obviously agreed with it. So the other image...
Did you not hear me?
I was going to say, you think I said it. It was only literally 2 seconds ago, Dan. You need to get on the ball today, mate. This is really disappointing.
I'm about to hand in my resignation.
We need Alex back.
I want to
Alex had a bit of insight to
it. He's a chatter, that.
Yeah. Boy. Stuart?
Scary North Koreans and the one crying North Korean.
Yeah, that was quite an iconic image as well.
Yeah,
that definitely got to people. There wasn't that many standout things, was there? Like you think 94, you think of Baggio missing the penalty.
Yeah, Maradona going mad.
You think to the camera. You think 90, you think of like Roger Miller and Gazza crying.
Yeah.
98, you think of Emmanuel Petit's ponytail.
Yeah, Zidane's 2 headers.
Ronaldinho foaming at the mouth. Zidane's 2 headers. And then Owen's goal probably for England as well.
Yeah.
2002.
You think of the plucky South Koreans?
Yeah, definitely. And it just being stupid o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. 2006, that was Italy, wasn't it?
Zidane, headbutting, that was it.
Yeah.
What else was iconic about 2006?
The fact that we didn't host it.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we were watching Premier League Years the other day, and it was like 1996-97 season, and it was like big 2006 everywhere. I thought, yeah, that never happened, did it? What a waste of advertising money that was. So, Dan, we're going to come back to you. What was your one image of the tournament?
Capello going mad at that cameraman for supposedly taking pictures in the
quiet bit.
He just came out and just went ape at him.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Didn't he?
Maradona being a manager of the World Cup as well. He's
brilliant,
wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. On a football level, he probably was my highlight.
Did you see the when they actually lost to the Germans? They showed close-ups of when the German goals went in.
Yeah.
And he was just standing with subs, just like, and every time it got in, he's just hugging his sub as if saying, "Oh shit, the bed." All right. Well, I think that sums it up on the World Cup front. It's been emotional. Well done.
The tournament's been kind of average.
Yeah. But so have we.
Yeah, at best.
Okay, moving away from the World Cup. The World Cup is no longer. Staying on to international football, looking forward, England, and I know Simon Pitney feels very strongly about this, as probably we all do. England have got an international friendly on Wednesday the 11th of August.
Yep.
possibly the worst planning of an international friendly ever. It was just, it's pathetic. But
No, with all due respect, they gave him a couple of days rest before the Premier League started.
Exactly, yeah. It's just pointless, isn't it? But so Capello has got a bit of a job on, because he's now got to pick a team to play in front of probably about 30,000 England fans.
Yeah.
Who would you pick? Simon, I'll start off with you.
Right.
A goalkeeper. We'll go around. Goalkeeper. Who's your pick?
Definitely Joe Hart.
Okay, I think we're probably all going to agree
Hart.
With it. Yeah, I've gone for Joe Hart as well.
Yeah.
He obviously was on the periphery of the squad for the World Cup. Didn't really get a chance. About time he got in there.
I mean, we all need him to move to a club where he can play.
Well, this
regularly.
Is it. He could easily be England's number one and Man City's number two to start this season.
We can't have that.
No, not to the start of the season. So he won't be fit.
Dan, Joe Hart, stick with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Joe Hart in goal. Left back.
Left back.
Who have you gone for? Dan, we'll start off with you.
Only because there isn't currently another player to play in that position. It has to be Ashley Cole.
Okay.
And that actually pains me to say it, but it still has to be.
Yeah. Stuart.
Definitely Ashley Cole.
Ashley Cole's like John Terry, but, you know, as in the full letter description, but he's the best left back in the world, so keep him in.
Okay, I've gone, I as the long term, so sort of for the Euros and for the games coming up that matter, then I'll go for Cole because he's good. But for this game on Wednesday, I'll put Kieran Gibbs in.
Okay.
Give him a chance, see how he gets on.
Yeah, for the Wednesday game.
Yeah, for the Wednesday game, because it's just a bit different. Ashley Cole does not need that game. He's got. If he has a brilliant game and scores a hat trick from left back, he's still going to be like, yeah, you're still a bit of an idiot, but well done. So give someone else a chance to impress. Centre back, Stuart, we'll start for you, mate. Who have you gone for?
Michael Mantian, McEva, Ferdinand, or Terry?
Michael Mantian. Back your case up for that, mate.
He loves it.
Is it because he once played for QPR?
Yeah, and he and he was buying Harry Bush before the game.
What?
He went into the corner shop. You know, as you come down.
You pick as you once saw him buying child sweets from the corner shop outside Loftus.
When we had him, he was brilliant.
All right. To be fair, he did very well at Wolves, didn't he?
Yeah, he was quality for us as well. He was by far a stand-up player for two seasons.
I think it's more likely to be someone who's played. Under-21s first.
He's played under-21s.
Has he?
Yeah, he's been playing under-21s since forever.
I didn't even know he was playing under-21s.
Did you know Stuart was Michael Mantian's agent?
Yeah. He looks a bit like Michael Mantian as well, doesn't he?
Got the same hair.
Talking of which, Dan, your centre-backs?
Gary Cahill and Michael Dawson.
Very interesting. My
other option was Richard Scowcross. I can't get that out.
Scowcross.
Yeah. Yeah, plays for Stoke. He broke Alan Lennon's leg.
Shawcross.
Ryan and Shawcross.
You've essentially got his first name and his surname wrong. Apart from that, you were spot. I like the fact we just agreed. And now I just looked at Simon and went, "Who the f*** is that?" And he obviously didn't know either. All right, but no, that's not a bad show actually. I go for Dawson as well, and I don't know if he's injured or, but Chris Smalling, the guy who was at Fulham and has now signed for Man United, I'd chuck him in. Give him a go.
Leapfrog it over Gary Cahill?
Yeah, I don't like Gary Cahill. I've seen him play a few times, I don't particularly like him.
I've kind of semi-picked the team for this friendly, but also going forward, I'd keep Ferdinand in there, assuming he's fit. But ahead of Gary Cahill, ahead of Matt Dawson, I'd take
Phil Jagielka. He was in my reckoning.
He's just another version of John Terry without the attitude.
Is he fit at the moment?
Yeah.
Jagielka, he came in the back end of last season, very, very good for us.
All right, cool. Yeah. Cool. All right, right back, Dan, we'll start for you.
My right back actually is Phil Jagielka.
Okay, cool. That works. Si?
Mika Richards. The guy's a unit, and he's so fast.
Is he a right back though?
Well, he played under there for McLaren, didn't he? And I reckon he's got the motor to do it.
Yeah.
He's got the speed.
Yeah. Stuart?
Mika Richards.
I'll go Gary Neville. Left wing.
I like the way you skip over the rest of that.
No, I'll go for Glenn Johnson. I think he's young, fit and athletic, and I think he'll fit into this team that I'm sort of building in my mind, so I'll keep him in there.
Fine.
I know he can't defend, but never mind. Can't have everything in an international defender, can you? Stuart, left winger, please.
Adam Johnson.
Yeah, I think we're all going to go for him, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
should have been in the squad. Apparently, all the press reports say that he was absolutely astonishing in training. Him and Scotty Parker were absolutely ripping up the training sessions, and neither of them went, and I think...
If Scotty Parker had gone, he wouldn't have let Ozil run away from him like Gareth Barry did.
No, he would have got there.
Yeah.
Or just taken him out.
One of the two. Both work. Okay. Central midfielders. Simon, we'll kick off with you on these ones, please.
Okay.
Two central midfielders.
Again,
we're saying we're going for a 4-4-2.
For the purpose of this. Again, I've kind of picked the team going forward as well as Fitz friendly. So I've kept Stephen Gerrard in there.
Yep.
But to play alongside him, and this is probably based on my appreciation of Schweinsteiger being a technically gifted footballer, can do a little bit of everything.
Yep.
I'd get Jack Rodwell in there.
Okay.
Boy can do everything.
Rodwell and Gerrard.
Yeah.
Stuart.
Rodwell and Hargreaves, if he's ever going to be fit again.
No, well,
we're talking about Wednesday.
He broke down again.
He's broken down again.
He's not coming back from America.
Who else? Wednesday, 11th of August. 2 weeks today, isn't it? Rodwell and Lampard. Yeah, you're dropping Gerrard.
Yeah.
All right. Dan?
There's big reasons why you shouldn't pick this pairing, but I think one is ready and one is the best centre midfielder. Steven Gerrard and Tom Huddleston. His ability to pass the ball. He isn't the quickest, and that is always a concern, but his ability to pass the ball is right up there with some of the best in the Premier League.
All right. I'm going for Steve Gerrard as well, as captain, obviously, and back in central midfield where he wants to play. And I can't believe anyone else hasn't said it. It's James Milner. He's the future of England's central midfield. Well, he's a central midfielder. He was absolutely amazing at Aston Villa there last season. So, and Capella's always said that he'll play people in the position they play for their club. He was a crap right winger for Aston Villa. They moved him inside, and he was one of the best players in the Premiership. Certainly the best English player, one of the best English players in the Premiership. And I think him and Gerrard would complement each other fantastically in the middle.
It's not that we completely forgot about him. I did consider him. I just think Rodwell's a better technically gifted footballer with both feet. That's all.
I haven't seen enough Rodwell to make that assumption. But from what I've seen of Milner and what I saw him out in the World Cup, I think he's good. He's good on the ball. Got a good engine. He can do the things that Barry does with the little sort of tip tap passes, and he can find a killer pass as well. So, all right, right wing, Stuart.
Was Milner, but Walcott now. I don't want Milner in my team. I've said that.
Okay, Si.
I'm keeping faith, and because he's lightning quick, Aaron Lennon.
Yeah, I've agreed with that. He's on my right wing, Aaron Lennon, without a doubt.
James Milner for me.
Milner on the right.
Yeah,
based on his World Cup performances. Or?
I think he was one of the better players actually. His ability to cross the ball is better than the other. You know, Theo or Aaron. Who would really be the only other two options. But I would just like to say, if he wasn't injured, I would actually consider going back to David Beckham, but maybe centre midfield in a five.
Makes sense. All right, forwards, I'll kick off this. I've gone for the two that started out front against Germany, Rooney and Defoe. I don't think we should drop Rooney based on that tournament. I think he's going to be our forward to come for the Euros and stuff like that. And I think Defoe was one of the few players to come out of any credit from the tournament. I think he looked sharp, I think he looked dangerous, and I think he looked very energetic. So I would like to for the first time in a long time to stick with the forward pairing, Rooney and Defoe, stick with them through the friendlies, through the qualifiers, and see if they can kick on. I'd love them to become like a Shearer and Sheringham sort of the two players where, you know, when England play, they're your two up front. It's none of this, oh, it could be him and it could be Rooney and him, or can Rooney play with him.
At least
Rooney
can't be Heskey now.
True, very true. But Rooney and Defoe can play together. I'm sure they can be a good up front partnership, and I'd like them to kick on because we can get a good sort of 2, 3, 4 years out of them as a partnership. So Euros and the next World Cup as well. So that's my reasons behind Rooney and Defoe. Dan?
Wayne Rooney. And he's also my captain, because he's my captain for the next 8 years. And a little bit left field, Andy Carroll. Very, very left field, but he's played well for the under-21s, scored goals at the under-21s, scored lots of goals in the Championship last year. You're talking about a team, you're basically playing Hungary at home.
We're talking about the 11th of August. You can't stick someone in like that, especially in the up-front position, because he hasn't played in the Premiership for a start last season. There's so many players in front of him.
Well, no, but I'm saying, this basically is, you know what Defoe can do. So you're talking about friendly here. You know what Defoe can do. You're talking about trying to build. He has been around the under-21s. He's done very well.
But he's not even going to be in the squad.
You didn't tell me to pick players that I think are going to be in the squad. Yeah. You told me who I think.
You're entitled to your opinion, but your opinion's wrong.
That's fine.
True, very, very true. I mean, I'd put Zamora in front of Carroll. I hate Zamora.
Yeah, but you've sat there talking about a team of the future, and then you put a 30-year-old, nearly 31-year-old.
No, I didn't say it's a team of the future. I said it's a team for Wednesday, 11th of August. I don't know how many times I can say this. Okay, 11th of August, Dan.
Yeah, and that's so why I picked him.
Yeah. So
I'd like to see a centre-forward partnership built and stuck to it, but I'm a big fan of pace. I think Walcott and Rooney up front.
Yeah.
It gives you lots of options, because Walcott can slip to the right, you can move Lennon up there, all sorts of things going on. Walcott and Rooney for me.
Okay, I like the sound of that, to be honest. Definitely better than Andy Carroll, anyway.
Yeah.
Stuart.
Rooney and Delfonso.
Right, go on then, give us a shout for Delfonso. Isn't he playing for the...
I like him a lot.
Have you ever seen him play?
Yes.
He just saw him buying Haribo.
He's bought Haribo.
He was buying nachos in the cinema. I love him.
I saw him play in a Carling Cup game against QPR, and he was amazing. Although we did beat him 1-0, he was the best player on the pitch. Barry was a tosser.
Good. All right. Well, there's that sorted. Someone give Capello a shout. We want anyone who buys Haribo in the team, please.
Alfonso and Cowell up front. Yeah. It's the future.
Cool. All right. Moving on slightly.
We'll see, won't we?
We will see. I don't think he's going to be starting. Connor Wickham. Start of this week, it was in our paper that he was potentially moving from Ipswich to Spurs, and Arsenal both after him. On to the subject of most expensive teenagers in English football. So I've got a list of the 10 most expensive teenagers in English football. I'd like you to give me your hit or miss on what they've... Number 10, James Milner, Leeds to Newcastle for $5 million. Hit or miss in what he's done since.
His career is a hit, yeah? Absolutely, yeah.
He didn't do that well at Newcastle, did he?
No, that's what I mean, his career. If it's just been a new definite hit.
We're going for career, so what, you got hit for Simon, Stuart? You're going for a maybe?
Nearly a hit.
Maybe.
Maybe. But no, definitely more hit than
no
that.
Andy Carroll.
No, it's no Andy Carroll.
He can't his teammates out either.
No. I'd go for hit. I think he's think he's proved himself at Villa, proved himself in the top flight. The fact that this.
Has he gone
stupid,
to City yet?
Not that I know of. Stupid money being banded around for him as well, so I'd go that for a hit. Okay. Number 9 on the list, Aaron Ramsey, Cardiff to Arsenal. One legged Adam Ramsey.
Adam?
Aaron.
I have a friend called Stephen Greco who loves Aaron Ramsey. Absolutely loves him. Greg thinks Aaron Ramsey could run the Premier League like this.
But hit or hit, miss or maybe for you?
If he can get back from his injury, a hit, but it's a maybe at the moment.
An injury, it would have been a hit, I think, because you're an Arsenal fan. He was doing quite well for you boys, wasn't he? He was getting
before the leg break. He still would have been a maybe for me, but just because he hasn't had long since that move. So it's still a maybe, but it's just really unfortunate. I don't think, you know, Eduardo's potentially going to leave now. He just went to rubbish since his leg, so...
Yeah.
I think if Ramsey hadn't got injured, I think Fabregas would be going to Barcelona now. Arsenal would pocket $50 million and Ramsey would be next Fabregas. But as he is injured, he can only be a maybe.
And we've also got to consider he's Welsh as well.
Well, so
that's
definitely
always
a maybe,
got to be taken into consideration.
Potentially any state.
All right, number 8 on the list was a $6 million teenage signing, and he went from Wolves to Coventry.
Robbie Keane,
correct, Simon Pitney.
Did Coventry have $6 million anymore?
No, probably not. For me, this is a definite hit. He scored goals wherever he's gone.
I like him. I think he's a great player. I don't understand why clubs don't just give him the benefit of doubt and give him some time. I think he's a great player. I'd love him at Everton.
Look at him at Liverpool. Jank.
But Peter tends to have a record of winding players up the wrong way, doesn't he? Yeah. I'm with you, Jim. I think Keane's a great player.
Yeah, I like his good celebration as well.
Yeah,
and you've got to appreciate that. Dan, Robbie Keane.
I would say miss.
Miss? Oh, really?
I think he's been...
He's scored goals wherever he's
gone. I think he's been very solid, but let's be fair. You don't, like, as much as you say, you don't keep moving clubs the way he has, whether it's some sort of whatever problem, personal problems he has. Not that he's a horrible person, but be able to stay at a club for... I know he was at Tottenham for a little while, but he was in...
Okay. He was a captain at Tottenham for a while.
Yeah, for a little while, and then he wasn't... Then he
was playing every other game.
Yeah, you know, I just... It doesn't make sense to me.
Are you a hit or miss?
I'm a hit.
Yeah, three hits. Yeah, three hits, and the Andy Carroll lover says miss, so we'll see. Next one is a right back who went from West Ham to Chelsea for $6 million. Glenn Johnson it is. I'm going to say miss. $6 million at Chelsea, he did absolutely nothing.
$18 million Liverpool's a letter.
$18 million to Liverpool, and he can't defend. And although he's in my England team, that just says what we lack in an England defence at the moment, a decent right back. So I'm saying miss.
For that amount of money, he's only had one good season at Portsmouth.
For that amount of money, I want him to tackle someone and then score a diving header with the same move.
He can score.
He's got a left foot. He's got a left foot.
He's a miss for me. I wouldn't have anywhere near the England level.
He was brought as a right back for $6 million to Chelsea, and he was crap.
$6 million more right midfield is a hit, but defender is a miss.
I don't think he even. Mourinho didn't even like him. He shipped him off to Portsmouth.
That's Ranieri. You bought him, wasn't it?
Well, was it? Yeah. That would explain. Good knowledge. Knowledge is the bomb. Next one, Fabian Delph.
Fabian Delph
leads to Aston Villa for $6 million. It was only last year, I think, 2009, because Man City were after him and Spurs and all sorts.
Yeah, last summer.
Yep,
he
went to Villa. It's got to be a miss for me so far. I could give him the benefit of the doubt and say maybe, but I'm saying miss.
He spent six starts last season.
You spend £6 million on someone, you expect him to be straight in the team and doing a bit.
Do you know when you put Milner from who you brought as a midfielder?
If I was an Aston Villa fan, I would.
I don't think he could be a miss. He hasn't been given a chance to be a miss yet. He's a maybe for me.
Dan?
Maybe.
anything based around.
Well,
that
just, I mean, he hasn't had time. He's got that little nasty streak in him, which is actually quite good for a centre midfielder. It looks like he's supposedly got a decent engine. I haven't really seen enough of him, so I can't say he's a hit because he hasn't done anything, and he's not a miss because he hasn't actually failed yet.
Stuart.
Maybe, definitely maybe.
All right, definitely maybe.
Definitely maybe.
The next one is quite an interesting one because up until the end of this season, he would have been a miss without a shadow of a doubt. Gareth Bale signed for Spurs for $5 million, rising to $10 million, makes it into our top 10 at number 5.
You couldn't win a game in
24 games in 2 years. It took him tour for Tottenham Hotspur, but end of the campaign, he was looking absolute dynamite. Yeah. He's Welsh again, so I'm saying maybe.
Explode. Welsh people can explode.
They do have a tendency to explode. Yeah, it's very true. In all seriousness, he's a hit for me just because he pushed on into last season. Was probably one of the best players in the Premiership. I watched
him going alone to a right gypsy club as well in the Championship, wasn't it? Cardiff. Just to get him some experience.
I think it was back.
No, Nottingham Forest as well.
Forest,
that's it, because they had
because they got Gunther.
No, I go for a hit. I was at the Spurs Arsenal game when Spurs beat your guys at the Lane, and he was amazing that game. I think he scored as well, but
he did.
Just caused them no end of problems down that left-hand side. So, hit for me, Dan Ferdinand.
Maybe.
Yeah?
24 games without a league win, 6 months, he was amazing. If the first half of next season, he is amazing again, he's a hit, but I need to hold.
I appreciate that. So
I'm kind of the same as Dan. I think a one-season wonder doesn't make you a hit.
In January, he was going, and he didn't fancy it.
I think potentially it could be a massive hit.
Maybe.
Yeah?
Yep.
For those reasons. I thought we'd all go for hit for that one, but okay, next one. This is an interesting one. We've mentioned his name already this afternoon. Theo Walcott, Southampton to Arsenal, originally for $9 million, but in the end, I think they paid a little bit less than that because Southampton got into receivership and Arsenal said, we can either give you that money where you are, or we could just give you like $10,000 now. And they were like, yeah, we kind of need the $10,000, so we'll just take that. Dan, start us off on this one, mate.
Miss.
Yeah?
Miss. Potentially could turn it around, but right
he's
now
he's still got time to be a hit, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's not an old man, is he, by any stretch of the imagination? So
he's a miss for me. And it's just annoying when he every now and again he just does something like Jesus Christ, boy, you are special.
Scores a hat trick in Croatia. Tradition is.
Well, he was in my England team as a centre forward up there.
Yeah. I think it's his physique which is holding him back on that.
Yeah.
He's so slight.
No, he actually has valid reasons why I call him a miss. His shoulders used to dislocate a lot. That? So he's had, over 2 summers, he's had operations
that
dislocate really easily. So it takes a bump and it will dislocate. There's a whole name for it, but I'm not going to try it because I can't
Mel Gibson, a lethal weapon.
Yeah. He's got like,
also, and, he's a bit more spinach, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he also, I actually think, I think this is actually his first full summer where he's gone away, he's had a break, he's come back, he's going to have a full pre-season with Arsenal under Arsene Wenger and the coaching staff. And so he actually, because he's always been away with England under 21s or England under 19s or England. So let's see what he does this season, but as it stands right now, he's a miss.
Well, to be honest though, if you
they haven't paid a huge amount for him. Yeah, someone will sign him.
6.1 million in the end, wasn't it? Because they only had to pay 100,000 and the rest of his five wasn't it?
I read an interview with Lionel Messi a couple of days after the World Cup final. We're talking about how England bombs. And he said that Theo Walcott should have been used a lot more. He said he was there, England's one player that scares him. And he said when Barcelona played Arsenal and they brought Walcott on, he said you could see pace and directness terrifies defenders. He said that Barcelona, their players, didn't look scared of anyone all season, apart from when Theo Walcott came on.
When he came on, scored the goal and dragged them back into the game, didn't he? He was brilliant.
Absolutely. And Messi said that he knows his Spanish teammates were so... It was only used sparingly. Yeah, exactly. So, right, next one. Cristiano Ronaldo. I think
it's got to be a hit, isn't it? World player of the year.
Ridiculously massive hit.
I'd really like to say he's not, but he is, isn't he?
Yeah. Let's move on. He's just a hit, isn't he?
Yeah. Anderson, Porto to Man United, £18 million.
More than Ronaldo, wasn't it?
Yeah. £18 million. Yeah, Ronaldo was, because he's number two and Ronaldo was number three on the list, so it stands to reason.
You haven't been saying two and three, though, have you? You haven't been saying number three, Ronaldo.
I think you'll find when you hear this back. I have.
Yeah,
I'll be looking forward to this.
Number two in the lineup of the top 10 in condescending order, Anderson, Porto to Manchester United, £18 million. Stuart, we'll start for you.
Miss.
Yep.
Couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo.
He's been linked away, hasn't he? He's been linked to various moves.
I think that'd be good.
Don't think they're going to get £80 million for him, to be honest. He did start end of the last season.
Still hasn't scored, has he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He scored now.
Yeah. He scored a few goals. He looked quite good at stages last season, didn't he?
I don't know whether he's got a few. I know he has scored here.
Yeah,
because it was ages before his first, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a big hit this season in the Premiership. I'm going to throw that out there.
Depends on when United sign, though, doesn't it? If they get Ozil,
he's not signing anyone.
If they get Ozil, I think he's probably just about a miss, bordering a maybe. I think he had a run in the team, not last season, the season before, where he played like me, but he just seems to be a bit of an itty-bitty player. So, a borderline miss for me.
Okay.
With Simon, he's a miss, maybe, but more of a miss than a maybe.
All right, I'm going to go maybe, and I think he's going to be hit this season. I think he's going to push through and come for it. So, on to number one.
Yeah.
Do we know who he is?
Yeah, obviously.
Wayne Rooney, isn't it?
Wayne Rooney.
It's got to be.
Wayne Rooney. Do you know how much it was?
27, was it?
30, I think.
Yeah. 29 million.
Oh, okay.
Because they bought him just after Euro 2004 when he was probably at his highest stock, because he was pretty amazing against Croatia, particularly in the group. Switzerland, I think it was, he scored against.
Yeah, Switzerland he scored against.
Yeah, so I think it's a gem by his World Cup antics.
He's but unequivocally a hit.
On that though, will you see him just going straight back into the team, Man United team, and just picking
up?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah?
Because he's playing for a decent team that plays the right way. So he's going to get chances, he's going to hit the back of the net, he's going to have confidence sore. He was playing with a bunch of dysfunctional idiots in white. So yeah, he'll just start banging goals in again for fun.
All right, Dan?
Hit. Like Simon said it all.
Cool. Stuart?
Maybe. No, it's definitely a hit.
Oh, you are funny, aren't you, Stuart?
I considered doing that joke, but...
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it's a hit, and I can see him probably getting a hat-trick against Newcastle first game of the season. And
he won't play him, will he? Apparently he's going to rest the load of his first teams for the first game.
Yeah,
just really
right.
Take the mick.
Yeah, no, he's not.
Yeah. Andy Carroll's going to score that game anyway, because he's going to be boosted by
his
England performance on the Wednesday night, isn't it? He was their top scorer last season, or main striker anyway. Why is
really
that ridiculous?
Top scorer?
Yeah, he would have been, yeah, main striker.
It's not that ridiculous, given the hometown boy, main striker, strapping 6'2", top scorer from last season, the number 9 shirt. Why is it ridiculous?
Stupid. Stupid.
Stupid's different. All right, finally, before we sign off on the latest podcast, Simon Pitney, what are you most looking forward to ahead of the domestic season that starts in sort of three weeks' time?
Well, can I cheat? I've got three things.
You can have three things,
right,
Simon.
Okay.
We will
first,
let you go.
Jack Rodwell, having another developmental season. And I want him to play.
Developed mental season.
Probably signed for a new club in January
developmental season. So him and Flaney will be centre midfield and just really getting the season when it starts, not in November, and having a proper push at the league, as it were. It'd be a horrible injury. They're my three things that I want to happen.
Yeah, Dan Gosling's been a bit crazy, isn't he?
Not really.
Why don't you like
he
Dan Gosling?
He's walked away from the club, hasn't he?
Yeah, he had a
Where's he gone?
Yeah, he had
well, gone anywhere. Yeah, he had a
Newcastle,
agreement,
more likely.
We screwed up. We didn't put the contract with him in. But he's gone. Even though I verbally agreed, now I'm not interested. Even though you developed me, even though you bought me through, now I'm going to join someone else.
Bring you bought him from Plymouth.
Yeah, but we bought him as a young boy, like 17, and we've developed him for the last 4 years. So I hope he gets injured.
Okay.
I hope he goes to Newcastle, gets injured, and we never see him again.
Nice. All right, Dan. Not much as an Arsenal fan, I wouldn't have thought.
No. Thanks, mate. I'm looking forward to a couple of new signings, hopefully a new goalkeeper, but we'll have to see. I don't know, looking forward to proving people wrong again, like we did from again last season.
Yeah, it all went to pot, didn't it? And now no one remembers it.
Yeah, we had like six bad games at the end. We didn't beat the top. The
we
other
need to get JVC
teams,
back
but,
in the shirt. It's when you were last good.
Let's prove people wrong again.
Okay, I'll go with that. I'm going for...
Oh, and I'm all sorry, and my other one, I've got two. My other one is the first home game of Gillingham,
yes.
Which I'm going
well,
to.
Well, that, funny enough, that links on very nicely to mine. Saturday, 7th of August, in the pub, in the Crickers, hopefully sunshine like this, a few lags on the go, Jill's first game of the season. We've got Andy Hessenthaler back in charge. He was like, if you can name, like, Ian Wright for you, probably.
Big Dunk.
Duncan Ferguson for you, maybe, or probably someone better.
No, Big Dunk.
No, it can't be the Everton all-time. Dixie Dean. Bringing Dixie Dean back from the dead and being your one. For you, maybe Paul Furlong or someone.
Mark Steen.
Stanley Bowles, something like that. He is Gillingham's all-time legend. In my lifetime, luckily, I got to see him play, but my dad's watched Gillingham for years and years and years, and Hess is still head and shoulders above anyone else, which is ironic because he's a little munchkin. But so he's back in charge of us, so I can't wait just to see him in the dugout. Stuart Hoare, QPR fan, what are you looking forward to?
Jamie Mackie and Leon Clark.
How about not getting a new manager every bloody week?
I don't know, I'd quite like the change.
Jamie Mackie, 1-7.
Quite exciting. 1-6, wasn't it?
don't know.
And then Leon Clark was 1 in 7, wasn't
he? So basically new signings is what you're saying.
There needs to be some more new signings.
Cool. Alright. I think we're gonna go into this subject a little bit more in the next podcast, because the next podcast will be a preview of the season.
Yeah.
Premier League right down to League Two, to the basement league. So we'll come back to you on that. But in the meantime, from me, goodbye. Stuart Hall.
Goodbye.
Dan.
Bye.
Simon.
Cheerio.